A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable partner for him." So the Lord God formed out of the ground various wild animals and various birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called each of them would be its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all the wild animals, but none proved to be the suitable partner for the man. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man, and while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. When he brought her to the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her man this one has been taken." That is why a man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them become one flesh. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, he, for a little while, was made lower than angels, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader to their salvation perfect through suffering. He who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. If she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord. Three weeks ago, the gospel reading featured that monumentally important question that Jesus put to his disciples, the one to which Peter famously replied, "You are the Christ." The question, of course, is, "But who do you say that I am?" Whenever I come across this question, I can't not think about a talk Bishop Robert Barron has given. A talk whose title is that very question, "Who do you say that I am?" Each time I've listened to that presentation, and I've heard it dozens of times, I'm struck by a particular remark he makes. Bishop Barron says, "Oceans of ink have been spilled trying to explain what the kingdom of God means." Now, I'm sure what he says about how much has been written on this subject is true, but I'm equally sure that far less ink has probably been spilled answering the question, to whom the kingdom of God belongs. Why? Because today's gospel reading makes it clear that the kingdom belongs to those who are like children. Isn't it interesting that Jesus doesn't say the kingdom belongs to those who are like the Pharisees? They were, after all, devout teachers. They were experts in the law, and they demanded strict obedience to its precepts. Don't we have devout teachers who are experts in the law and who demand strict obedience to its precepts? We do. Isn't it even more interesting that Jesus doesn't say the kingdom belongs to those who are like his disciples? They were, after all, his closest followers. He handpicked them, he trained them, he taught them. No, Jesus says the kingdom belongs to those who are like children. Why? Why children? And why not the Pharisees or the disciples? Well, in part, it's because the Pharisees were hard-hearted, that he did not hold them up as examples of how one should be in order to possess the kingdom. Today's gospel reading, I believe, invites us to think of ways that we're hard-hearted. Are we in any way unsympathetic or indifferent or insensitive, unkind, intolerant, uncaring, or unforgiving? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then there's probably a bit of hard-heartedness in us. What's the remedy? Jesus, I believe, would say, be more like a child. Okay, well, what about the disciples? Why weren't Jesus' closest followers held up as examples of how we should be? Mark would answer this question this way. He would say it's because the disciples lacked understanding, that they were sort of blind, that they just didn't fully believe all the things they heard. To see this, we have to look at the context in which we find today's reading. Today's reading from Mark is embedded in a fascinating section of the gospel. When we read the entire section, we find that Jesus and his disciples are making their way to Jerusalem in the south from Galilee in the north. Interestingly, and not unintentionally, I believe, the narrative is sandwiched between two healings of blind men, one in Bethsaida, north of Galilee at the beginning of their journey, and the other in Jericho near Jerusalem at the end of their journey. Three times along this journey, Jesus predicts his passion. There's a lack of understanding, a lack of true believing, a blindness, if you will, on the part of the disciples, and a teaching on discipleship. Let me give you an example. In Jesus' third prediction of his passion, we hear him say this to his disciples. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit upon him, scourge him, and put him to death. But after 3 days, he will rise. To this prediction, James and John say, "Teacher, grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." That was their response. And this was the third time they had heard this prediction. Mark would say, they don't get it. They're blind. I believe the reading from Mark invites us to understand that if we want to belong to the kingdom of God, we have to believe what Jesus says. We really can't afford to be like the disciples who, in these instances, along the way to Jerusalem, didn't quite believe what they'd heard. So the question for us is, how often does it happen to us that we don't quite believe what we hear? In what ways do we lack understanding? In what ways are we blind? Our first reading would have us answer the question, what do we really understand or believe about the indissolubility of marriage? The gospel reading would challenge us to answer the question, what do we understand or believe about divorce or adultery? What are some other important questions from our faith? How about, what do we believe about the sanctity of life? Or the real presence of our Lord in the Eucharist? If we don't quite believe what we're taught on any of these subjects, Jesus would say, be like a child. Okay, so what about children? What is it about children that caused Jesus to lift them up as the spiritual model for adults? In a word, it's their amazing ability to receive. Children receive with eagerness and great delight. And the eagerness leads to an openness which protects them from hard-heartedness. And their delight brings about trust, which shields them from misunderstanding. Brothers and sisters, not a day goes by that we don't encounter Christ in some way. My prayer for us is that we receive our Lord with the eagerness and delight of a child, so that when he comes to welcome us, we will joyfully hear him say, "The kingdom of my Father belongs to such as you."